Did you put sugar in the table?
It's recording right now. Go for it.
You're right.
It's recording also. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, the laws of Yom Tov, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, Chapter 6, Law 6, in the Masnayim text. It's page 256 and 257. Yesterday we began a discussion of the laws of making an Erev Tavshilin, which enables you to cook on Erev, on Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Okay? And the process that's necessary, and we discussed that, again, just to quickly review, that really, according to the biblical law, one can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but for rabbinic concerns, we do not allow it. And therefore, if one makes a recognition, hecker, where one does something unusual, which is taking the food that you've cooked on Erev Yom Tov and designating it as an Erev Tavshilin, then it will, when you cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, there's no rabbinic concerns that you may do other violations. And we also explained that this, that the Rambam's position is that it, that you do not use bread or cereal, but rather you use something that goes with bread, like meat and fish and eggs, and even you could even use remnants of fat scraped off the knife, provided it is the shear of a kezias. You could use it, and that one Erev is good for one person or for a family of 1,000. We also said that it, the cooked dish can be roasted, it can be pickled, it can be smoked, etc., etc. And then we finally mentioned that as long as the Erev is around, you can cook from Erev Shabbos, Yom Tov to Shabbos, but if the Erev gets lost or eaten up, then you're stuck at that point. And that's where we left off, and we continue now in Halacha Vav.
Rabbi, are we going to delve more into...
We're going to delve into everything.
The number of people, the 1,000 people, and whether you have to have them in mind, they have to have you in mind, that sort of thing.
Oh, I think that's pretty obvious. You have to, everyone has to have people in mind. So, but okay. We'll see. Before we're done with this, we should be covering every topic. Vav. Hameniach eruve tavshilin kdei sheyismoch aleihem huvacher. There you go. Person who lays down an Erev Tavshilin so that other people, that he and others can rely on him. So, tzorech lezakus lahem kederech shemezaka b'Erev Shabbos. You have to acquire it for them, just like you acquire them for other types of Erev for Shabbos, which we'll explain in a minute. Whoever can acquire for others for the other kind of an Erev on Shabbos, Zocha Beruv Tavshilin can also acquire for others when they make an Erev Tavshilin. Oh, you don't have a Rambam. Whoever cannot acquire for the other types of Erevs cannot acquire for this type of Erev. So what kind of Erev are we talking about over here? What's the other Erev the Rambam's talking about? So he's talking about in the laws of Erevin, which we skipped, in the first parak, Halacha Chaf, which is in your book, by the way. So if you turn back to page 28 and 29, which is not in my book too. No, it's not in this volume of the book, but it's in your volume here.
This is base, right?
Yeah.
It's in Aleph?
So he says, but it doesn't have it. It's the other one. Anyway, if you look on page 28 and 29, he says, a person may establish an Erev on behalf of others. This is talking about an Erev Chatzeros, where you're getting a whole bunch of people that share a common courtyard. So you're taking a couple matzahs for everybody. So if one of the inhabitants of the courtyard takes bread and says, behold, this is for all the inhabitants of the courtyard, or he took an amount of food equivalent to two meals and says, this is for all the individuals of the lane, he does not have to collect food from each individual. He must, however, give their portion to another person who will acquire it on their behalf. In other words, everyone has to have some kind of ownership in the Erev Chatzeros. Everybody, let's say you have 10 families that share a courtyard. Everybody has to have a partial ownership in the meal there, in the food, right? So to do it properly, you can't just, if the guy himself is doing it, he can't acquire it for others because it's staying within himself. He can't give it to himself.
So he gives it to the others?
We designate another person, says, here, you are going to be the representative of the rest of the people in the courtyard. I will give it to you. You'll pick it up on their behalf. And now they all have a part ownership of this. Okay? Then that includes everybody in the Erev Chatzeres.
Right. So the other person can acquire for a large number of people.
Right, because there's a rule, Zochin Ladim Shel Bafan, if you can acquire something for someone not in front of them.
Right. Now, without their knowledge.
Yes, because it's for their benefit. But the point is, so you're saying, why can't the guy who's doing it do it? Because he can't acquire it for them because it's his.
Right.
Let's say I own a box of matzahs. It's mine. I say, well, now I acquire it for everybody else. How can you acquire it for everybody else? It's mine. What I do is I have another person who is a representative of the other people and says, here, take it for them, right? And I'm still retaining a partial ownership of some of the matzah, so I have a little bit of ownership. The other guy picks it up. He now is saying, I'm picking it up for them. Follow? Mm-hmm. So that's how it works with an heir of chatzeros. Now, he says, though, who can do this? Who's the person who can do this? He says, one son or daughter who has reached majority.
This can be the third party?
Can be the third party. One's Hebrew servant and one's wife may take possession on behalf of others.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm surprised because I would have thought the wife would be the same as him.
Well, there is some disputes in halacha, in the final halacha about this. But anyway, neither a son nor a daughter below the age of majority nor a Canaanite servant or a maidservant has this prerogative because they do not have independent financial status. Then it gets to other details. Anyway, that's the same thing that Rambam is saying over here. If you want to make an Erev, now we're not talking about your family. If it's your family, your wife and kids, they go with your Erev. Because you're all one family. That's not the issue.
But do they all have to eat some of it? Or doesn't matter?
No.
Not necessarily. It's designated on behalf of everybody. Somebody's got to eat it.
Yeah.
On Shabbos.
But they don't all
so now if I want to make an Erev for other people besides my family, then that's what the Rambam is talking about over here. You want others to rely on your Erev. Right?
Yeah.
So the only way they can arrive, no, it doesn't have to be in your house. It could be someone, the neighbor next door, who's ignorant and doesn't know how to make an Erev.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can have somebody pick it up for them, you give it to them, they pick it up for them, and now that becomes the Erev for them as well.
So let's say
and
you
this
make
is really what the rabbi does when he makes the Erev for everybody.
You have a third party.
I have one of my son-in-laws.
Right.
It's not so partial if you have your children do it. It's not so partial.
You know, I had the same thing.
So I had one of my son-in-laws, or whatever, and I hand it to him,
yeah,
and he picks it up on
behalf
of
the
community.
Yeah.
And now that will work for anybody who is not able to do the Eruv.
But you don't depend on that. We already learned you don't depend on that weekly.
Right.
But in a crisis and in a pinch,
we'll see. Right. So anyway, so that's the same idea.
So when we say the words, we shouldn't at the end it says you do it on behalf of the city. We should not say that if we don't.
I think it's in brackets, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's
for the rabbi.
It's for the rabbi.
It's for the rabbi. You're not a rabbi yet.
Right.
It doesn't say rabbis only.
Yeah.
No, but you're not using a third party anyway. It wouldn't work.
You're not using a third party.
No, I didn't either.
I was a third party. I went over to Rabbi Habushas to pick up my daughter, and he says, could you please hold the community Erev? And there's this beautiful plate of salmon, cooked salmon and other things. Sure, here you go. Were you acquired for the community? Sure, I held it up. And he was doing an Erev for the whole Sparta community, for Rabbi Habushas, for Kol Torah.
Right.
Do you have to have in mind the people who are coming to your house to eat?
No, it doesn't have to be in your house. It can be anybody in the community.
They're not cooking.
You have to designate who they are.
No,
let's say somebody's going to show up.
I have my.
But they're not cooking.
People are showing up. They can eat. They're not cooking anyway. They're not cooking anyway.
For cooking on
the whole. This whole Erev Tashilin is to enable people to cook on Friday Yom Tov for Shabbos.
Or Thursday.
If you just want to come and eat, you don't need an Erev Tashilin to eat.
You are cooking food.
So let's say, whatever, let's say you've got a courtyard and everybody's ignorant, you're going to make an Erev Tashilin for everybody in the courtyard, let's say. So in order to see, that's what we're saying. So if you put it that others should rely on you, you have to acquire it for them just like other Erevs are acquired, and only people who could acquire the other Erev Tashilins, like adults, can acquire for others, and to the exclusion of minors who cannot acquire for others.
I think this is what Martin was asking, but for people who are knowledgeable, it's only a last resort backup. You shouldn't rely on it. Is that the point?
No,
of
from this halacha, it seems that if people know you're doing it, it would be fine. But
that's not what we learned before.
Where?
When you were teaching this before.
You said you could do it once, I think, in your life.
I'm saying on it. Okay, as the halacha, and then there's the technical level.
Okay.
On the technical level, it could, you know, one person can make it for everybody.
Yeah, that's 100%.
You know, but the minig has become that we all make our own.
Right.
But from the pure halacha, we've already seen, Ram says it could be for 1,000 people. Bein lecha, bein lalav. You can make an Erev Shel Shalom for 1,000 people. I don't think anybody has a household with 1,000 people.
So, for example, Rabbi, if someone accidentally, one of the little kids, ate the egg.
So you got a problem.
Why can't you rely on the rabbi's Erev Shel Shalom?
So for those kinds of things, you would.
Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. So you don't have to,
But the custom has become that everybody makes their own Erev.
I appreciate that, but I'm saying if something goes wrong.
Yeah, your wife's in the middle of cooking and she's starting to freak out because the kid ate the egg.
Yeah, so that's what the rabbi's there for. We'll see when we get into the halachas. We'll discuss it all.
You have to confirm with the rabbi that he did it because you're just assuming. Well, you don't even know if
so
he did.
So far, we have a good record.
Great record. What a good record.
You were
great
worried about it.
Yeah, I know. You're just worried a couple weeks ago.
I haven't put it into my computer.
No, but they have to have the community.
I put it in my
mind.
Computer right before the season, those 3 days. I put it to pop up to reminder to do it.
Probably you're doing it, Rabbi Taub is doing it.
We can't rely on another rabbi.
Rabbi
Sake
is doing it. There's probably like 10 rabbis doing it.
Don't they have to be part of your community?
I'm doing it for my shul.
So can I rely on Rabbi Taub even though I'm a member of his shul? And you forget to do it?
I don't know which rabbi feels he runs the whole city.
Does he have you in mind, Rabbi Taub?
Does he have anybody in mind?
He has the membership.
He's the Bite membership.
So you only have your membership in mind when you do it?
Who else should have in mind? I don't have any business.
Well, Thorn Hill.
My shul's not.
Right, well, you got to have the whole world.
Membership has benefits.
Wow, it's almost like the American Express card.
Right. They put that on the list of benefits.
So the benefits is
high holiday tickets,
there may be a Jew in China who needs to rely on you.
It can't be in China. It's another city. It's another country.
Yeah, you can only do it.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Zion.
You don't have to inform those people who you've acquired on their behalf, because you can do it without their knowledge.
They benefit.
But, I will have them later, but they should know when it's time to do the cooking, Shikfar Zikolem Achav Erev Lem, that somebody did acquire it for them and an Erev was made for them. So that everyone knows the rabbi makes it for them. The Achav Kachan, then Yisim Kolov, they can rely on him, Vivash and Yofan, they can cook and they can bake. Afal Pishlo Yodra El Yontav, even though they're only informed on Yontav that somebody did it for them, Harelim the term, they may cook and bake. Here it comes. And really, it should be for a person to make an heir for the whole city, and to anyone who's within the tchum of that city, which would exclude China. The next day, he should call out and say, whoever has not made an heir shilin, yismuch al eruvi, he can rely on May Eruv.
We should get you a little box and you can stand.
Where does it come from your house? 2,000 amos?
2,000 amos. So it'll include...
house 2,000 amos?
No, you're in the city. You're in the tomb.
You're in the tomb.
Yeah. Talking about people outside the city limits. Already you're talking in Richmond Hill area.
I know you're far, but you're not...
2,000 Newmarket.
No, it's 2,000 from the end of the city. The whole city is one tomb.
Newmarket, you're out of luck.
Yeah, so but if you're in Richmond Hill, you might be okay.
We'd have to know. But you're okay, Howard. It's all based on a Gemara in Beitza, where Rav Yaakov Bar Idi made an announcement. He said, whoever did not make an Eretz Hashilim should come and rely on me.
Wow.
And how far does this go? So one rabbi says, until the Tchum Shabbos. Another one said, for the whole Nahardoi, whatever one said, for the whole Tveria. Anyway, so there's different opinions how far it goes, but still, one can, and he said the person should make it for the whole city. So, you know, the question is, you know, I mean, this way people in the city who are not knowledgeable, don't know to do it, at least will be covered by that. And we'll get into the...
Thorn Hill or all of Toronto?
It says the one must know, at least in England.
What?
When it becomes uninhabited.
Yeah. So everybody in school knows the rabbi makes it for them. That's maybe we should publicize it.
Well, I'm saying, maybe, the day after you say you're sure.
Okay, so put, okay, point well taken. Bulletin. We should put in the bulletin next time. Someone will remind me. Send me an email, okay? Send me an email right now. So it'll be in the announcements to say that the rabbi has made an Erev Tashilin for everybody.
Well, the only problem is...
Don't rely on it.
Yeah, that's... The problem is...
then he won't lie on
it. The schedule gets printed before the rabbi does it. So if the rabbi does forget...
At least it will put... Well, the rabbi will not forget.
He's consistent.
There's enough pressure on him. Let him have a little
more. That's a generic comment. Okay. A rabbi might forget.
Right.
But we're not talking about a rabbi.
Everybody should do their own, but in case you forgot, the rabbi...
I was going to suggest that it could be announced in the morning davening of that morning. After the Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's way too many announcements to remember. But
you said Mark, not Max.
Okay, let's move on. Yes.
Because then you know you've made it.
Yes. Hameniach Eretz Yisrael, and the person who makes the Eretz Yisrael, and the Chai Levarach, he must make a blessing. Baruch Ato Hashem, Lachem Lachem, Asher Kishem, Asher Kishem, Asher Al Mitzvahs Eruv. But then you must add another formula, Va'omer. Now he's going to do the Hebrew version, although you and your sitter have the Aramaic version. Be'eruv said, Yutali Lefos V'Lavashel. With this Eruv, it's permitted for me to bake and to cook. Yom Tov Shalamachar. For Yom Tov for the next day. Now that means, for example, if Yom Tov is Friday and Shabbos is coming up right afterwards, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, or rather...
Or 2 day Rosh Hashanah. It could be 2 day Rosh Hashanah.
No. Let's say Yom Tov, that's Friday and Shabbos, okay. Let's say. Or 1 day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. But the Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz, we're starting on Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday, you would not say the word lamachar. You wouldn't say the next day, because you're not cooking the next day. Right? You say miyanta shalamachar l'shabbos, because it's not, it's 2 days before Shabbos. And you'll see in your art school doesn't have the word lamachar. The imzika balachem, and if you acquired it for others, yomer, you say, leave for me, v'lefloni l'floni, for so-and-so and for so-and-so. Oleancheir. Or for the whole city, kulam lefos alashol niyontav l'shabbos, to cook for and to bake for the entire Shabbos. So that's the formula you have to say.
Just clarification: if it's a 2 day yontav in the diaspora,
we're going to get to it.
I just wonder whether you can cook on Thursday.
We're going to get to it. Test me shaloi niach eruv tavshilin. What if a guy did not make an eruv tavshilin? You forgot. Lo nichol alcherem, and nobody else made one for him. He's in a city without a rabbi.
Well, that's a bad
shouldn't
place.
Be there.
That's a bad thing.
Or the rabbi forgot.
Oh, no, that right? Doesn't happen. Even Shanghai?
So, kishem she'osu lo levasu v'lefo. So, just like he may not bake and he may not cook from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, koch kimcha u'machol asur, so his flour and food is prohibited. Meaning to say, you can't have somebody else cook who made an Erev to take your food and cook your food. We'll see in a minute, but... because your fruit is prohibited. However, there'll be a however in a second. For usur la'achar she'nichol la'atzmal, it's prohibited for somebody else who did make an eruv to take your food, levashel v'lefos l'zesh l'nich, to cook and bake the food that belongs to the guy who didn't make an eruv tavshilin. Ad she'yaknelo, until the guy who didn't make the tavshilin will sell it or give it, the person who did make the Erev Tavshilin acquires the food from the guy who did not make the Erev Tavshilin. So if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, you can give your food to the person who did, and now it's his food. And now he's cooking with his food. So this guy is cooking and baking with his food that you've just given to him. Sherei Konoli acquired it. Now if he wants to be a nice guy, he can give it back to the first guy who didn't make it fully, because here's a present, fully cooked food, and you can eat it. So this is one way out. There's a number of ways out. One way out, if you did not make an Erev Tavshilin, give your food to a friend. The friend can cook it, and then give it back to you.
They can cook it in your home, their home, doesn't matter. You have to take it to his home to cook it.
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, questions, you know, you need where the hecker is. But that's an interesting question. We have to think about that.
Why wouldn't you be able to do it anyway? I mean, if you made it, you could do it anybody else's home. It's not restricted to you made
that,
it.
I have to think about it. I'm not
can
saying...
Can you acquire on Yanta?
Yes, you can. It's not a business deal here. And certainly you need it, because the guy won't have anyone to eat. It's just food. Now, another example. Someone did not make an Erev Tavshilin. I can't cook from Friday to Shabbos, but I cooked Friday for Friday. I cooked Friday morning for Friday lunch. That you can do. And there's leftovers.
That's my question from yesterday.
Oh, Shazim and Orchin, or you invited guests. You're planning on having 20 guests for lunch. And they all didn't show up because it was raining. For low bow, and they didn't come.
Oh, boy.
Hareza Ochel Amos, you can eat the leftovers on Shabbos. Because I did not cook for Shabbos. Now, I know what you're thinking next. And what if he did a little trickery?
Yeah. He they said, might be really hungry. Let me cook some more.
He said, you know, I think the family's going to really be hungry when you cook six chickens for lunch. But there's only four of us. Yeah, but we might be very hungry.
You never know. It could be
so. So if you make a trick, I raise that osarachu. You can't eat this food on Shabbos. Oh. But look at this one now. What if he said, I know I didn't make an Erev Shav Shilin. I know I'm not allowed to cook for Shabbos, but I'm doing it anyway. Oh. Ovar, he transgressed. For Ofa Ubiso Shabbos, he cooked on Friday Yontif for Shabbos, and he knows he's not supposed to. Look at this. Ain Osir Malov, we don't prohibit him from eating it. Whoa, whoa, why is this? So why are we so strict on the guy who makes the trick? But the guy who's mamish on purpose, we don't do anything to him. That doesn't seem fair. The answer is, if we're going to allow the tricker to do it, nimtzah kol marimim. So everyone's going to be a tricker. We'll have pulled out the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael. We've basically made it irrelevant. Because everyone knows they can fool. On the other hand, I will amaze it, but a person to negligently, blatantly and brazenly say, I'm going to cook without a name of Tashilin, ain't a mocha. That's not a very found occurrence. Jews don't usually do this. Anybody does, it's a rarity. Shtick, every Jew can do shtick. But to be brazenly blatant, that's rare. Vim over hayoim, and if the day passed, and if he transgressed one day, he won't transgress another day. In other words, the whole point is, let's remember, biblically, are you allowed to cook from Friday to Shabbos? Yes. Yes. The whole Erev Tashilin is to take care of a rabbinic concern. So the guy is saying, you know, I fifun, the rabbinic concern. So you know what? Okay, that's unusual. But the guy's stressed out. Okay, maybe one day, yes. We can't, it's not like cooking on Shabbos when you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Right. We say you can't eat what you cooked on Shabbos. No aver. There's no biblical aver to cook on Friday for Shabbos. Right. So it's only for rabbinic concern. So it was a bad move. I don't care about the rabbis today. So the rabbis aren't going to impose their rulings to the point where the guy won't be able to eat on Shabbos. So therefore, if the guy was brazen, well, that's not, it won't uproot the laws of Eretz Yisrael, because people aren't going to be brazen every single day, you know. But a person will make tricks, people will make tricks all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's why Bidi Eved, if he was brazen, we allow him to eat that food on Shabbos. So, you know, the question is, so if I forgot to make my Eretz Yisrael, should I just be a mechutzav? The answer is certainly not. But if you were, you gain.
If you don't know what it says and you don't ask, you can eat the food.
Which footnote is that?
28.
Let's see, what's 28 saying?
You just cook because you don't know any better.
Say that even when a person, if I was annoying you and cook for them, okay, but then how would you know that you needed an Erev Tashilin if you didn't know?
Well, if you cook the whole thing and you find out 2 hours ago someone ate the egg.
Okay, maybe. Okay, that's a good one. So therefore, it comes out as the one of the few examples that blatant is better. Okay.
So now, saying there's no price to pay in Shemayim or anything else either?
We didn't say that.
Listen, we're not saying you're the nicest Jew in the world.
We're not saying that. Everything has a price, Paul.
That's what
everything
I'm saying.
Everything has a
but
price.
But from a technical point of view, you may eat it.
Right.
That's all. That's all we're saying. From a technical point of view, you may eat it.
So if you cooked on Yom Tov for...
Now we'll see there's other eitzes for those who didn't make an Erev Tashlum. We'll learn there's more things to do. But this is from the Rambam.
If you cooked on Yom Tov for a weekday, what would the consequence be then? That's Torah prohibited.
Well, then you can't eat it for the weekday. At least you have to wait at least the time it would take to make it or stuff like that. Okay, Yud Aleph. Now, Shnei Yomim Tovim. Let's say you have 2 days of Yontif, like we have in the exile, right? Shechol Yos B'chamishi Ver Shabbos. It comes out on a Thursday and a Friday, like we just had. So, when do you make the Erev Tashilin? Osa Erev Tashilin, the Yom Revi, Shur Erev Yontif. If you make the Erev Tashilin on Wednesday, right, which is Erev Yontif. Now it's interesting now. Now, this point of the Rambam, okay, so hang on. Shachach, what if you forgot to make an Eretz Hashem on Wednesday? And now it's Thursday. Loinich, he didn't make an Eretz Hashem. So there's the way out. So Rambam suggests there is a way out. Why? What do you do? Meinicho barishon, you take an Eretz Hashem on the first day of Yontif. Umas, and you make a condition. Make a conditional Erev Tafshilin. Tate said how. You take the Erev Tafshilin on Thursday, which is the first day of Yontif. V'yomer, and you say, Im hayom Yom Tov, if today is Yom Tov,
because you're in
Galus. And tomorrow is not Yom Tov. So l'machar havas, l'shabbos, v'ni tzachum. So tomorrow I'll just cook. And I don't need any Erev Tafshilin at all.
Right. If it was a one day.
Right? Now, Im hayom chol, and if today is not Yom Tov, ulamachar Yom Tov, tomorrow is Yom Tov, they will say, you're to live as the last ulamachar Yom Tov Shabbos. So this will be the air for today, which will allow me to cook tomorrow for Shabbos. So it's a conditional air of tafshilin, which has to be good.
Yeah.
Right?
You can do that till sunset on
Thursday. Hold on, I'm not saying we're passing like that, but this is what the Rambam says. Right? But you see the logic of that?
Yeah, of course.
In other words, only one day is Yom Tov. We don't know which day is Yom Tov, right? One day is Yom Tov, one day is not Yom Tov. It's not 2 days of Yom Tov.
Wait, rabbis, when they made this gezerah that there are going to be 2 days of Yom Tov, you're saying there's really, they know there's really a one
okay,
day.
Okay, you have to wait. You're going to have to let the halacha unfold because it's different stages in history. Right now we're talking about the time when we had a temple and we sanctified the moon based on eyewitness testimony. And therefore, people who lived beyond Eretz Yisrael would find out too late
right.
when Which it was. But it's one day or the other. It was serious doubt.
But then they changed it later.
Hold on. Yeah. But we're talking about that scenario right now.
Okay.
So then it's so logical you could get away and you could make an Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, logic seems...
Yud Beis. Ki Yaitzebo. Similarly, let's talk about taking Truma off of Tevel. Guy's got two baskets of tevel. Remember, tevel is untithed food. Tevel, you should know by the way, is a contraction of two words. Tov lo. Meaning, it's not good. Tevel. Tov lo. No good. No good to eat. You can't eat. Right? So now, we know you're not allowed to separate truma on yontif.
No.
Because it's repairing it. You can't do it on yontif. But if there's 2 days of yontif, maybe there's a way you can get around this. Right? So what do you do? The Yom Tov Rishon, on the first day of the Yom Tov, Omer like this, just like this. Ima Yom Chol, if today is not Yom Tov, then Tia Zotram, then this basket will be the Truma, and this basket will be the regular food that we can eat. This basket will go to the Kohen, and this basket, amongst all the other food around, is the Tevel that now I can eat. If today is a weekday, then I'm fine. Right? Vima Yom Kodesh, but if today is a holy day, then ain't bedvarei klum. So what I've said is nothing. I can't say anything because I can't make it. And v'koriel Hashem, you designate and say, this is what I would like to be the truma if I could.
For tomorrow.
For today. Umeinich, and you leave it. You don't do anything. So again, you say, if today is a weekday, this is the truma.
If it isn't.
If it's not, I haven't said anything.
Yeah.
And you don't do anything else that day. Ulamachar b'shein, and the next day, chosi, repeat it. The omri say, Yom Kodesh, if today is Yom Tov, then ain't bit very klum, because my words is nothing, because I already spoke yesterday. Today is a weekday, then this will be the truma on that. The Kodesh Hashem, you give it that name, Umeinicha, and you leave it, Kedera Shekola Berishon, like you done the first day.
So it's the same thing with the same thing with the Tafshilin.
Because you can't give it to the Kohen, Umeinich Ezo Shekora Leshem Truma, you leave the one that you made truma, and you can eat the second one because you can get away with it. It works the same way as Erev Tashilin works. Now you give them. When do we say this? When it's the 2 days of outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yom Tov. But what about Mishnei Yomim Tov? What about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is considered one long day of holiness? Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's 2 days. It's not because of a doubt, it's one long day of holiness. So what if you didn't make an Erev Tafshilin on Wednesday, like this year, Rosh Hashanah, Shuvein HaManiach, you can't make an Erev Tafshilin.
No way.
Because you can't make this thing if today isn't to that. No. You rely on others, Im Erev Olav, if they made an Erev for him, which is the rabbi. Or give over your flour to someone who made an Erev. Oh, and if you don't want that, then you also left us the last Shabbos and you can't cook.
Finished.
What if you didn't separate Truma before Rosh Hashanah? Same thing. You can't separate anything until Matzah Shabbos.
So it's
like one Kedusha. You can't make any conditions over here. Okay, now, one more. Well,
we're at half an hour.
We're going to half an hour?
We're done, yes.
So we're going to stop, and tomorrow we're going to just tell you what halacha is nowadays, when it's not of a doubt. We'll see a machlokas, the Rambam and the Raifid about this.